Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, LaSalle Thompson, David Thirdkill, Joey Devine, Wallace Bryant, Wayne Sappleton, Sean Keane, Jose Slaughter. Special Patreons, Gurban Ghouli, Bernie Muhammadu. Yes, he's the totalitarian president of Turkmenistan and a dentist. Thank you, David Hafner. And Phil Oakes. Thank you, Ryan Campbell. Musical guest, Thompson Twins. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of Roundball Rock, and we are back with a new episode of the podcast. I'm here, as always, with my good friend and permanent co-host, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good, Joey.
I heard you got in a basketball-adjacent altercation. Not to be a real Byron Allen with this setup.
No. I like it.
So Sean, tell me, I heard you got in a basketball-adjacent altercation.
Look, we want this show to be more like Comic View.
Yeah, Comics Unleashed, not Comic
Comics
View.
Comics Unleashed, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Comic Byron View Allen would have way too much Darren Carter, the party starter, for my for my taste.
Yeah. When you used to have a job classifying comedy, I feel like urban voice was the most problematic category that you had to choose.
Yes, I also once got in an argument in a meeting over putting Jeff Dunham's voice as white.
Because like the terrorist has
no racist because. Acts? White was the baseline. Like, you're supposed to use white voice for like when a comic is like a black comic was doing white voice.
Oh,
you know what I mean? But I was like, this is the whitest shit I've ever heard. This needs to be white.
He's doing a white voice. My God, what an entertainer though. I went on a hike yesterday, and like in the middle of the hike, my girlfriend texted me and she needed quarters. So I was like, all right, I'll just walk to Trader Joe's. as I'm walking, I like walk into a crazy fight. I was just, it's again in a fairly placid area of Los Angeles, in Los Feliz. Some dude, apparently, this is all from the recap, a big, like, really jacked dude was just, like, on his phone on the sidewalk outside mm-hmm. his apartment. And as I'm walking up, a dude in a much smaller guy has just pulled up in a car, and he's, like, parked in front of a fire hydrant. And the huge dude just said, "Oh, are you my DoorDash guy?" And I think he must have misheard it, because it immediately turned into, it went from 0 to 100 very quickly in terms of the aggression. The guy in the car started yelling gay slurs cool. at the man on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
I think he must have just misheard the word dash, Joey. That was my guess. So I see them. Oh, and at one point, the guy in the car brandished a blue pair of nunchucks.
I'm sorry, what?
I was just watching from like 25 feet away as they were like getting closer. And as they're yelling back and forth, the guy produced a blue pair of nunchucks, which from my angle looked like they had been conjured out of the air. But apparently, dude was just driving around with nunchucks on the passenger seat.
Okay, cool. What does you watching a guy fight Bagel Boss Man have to do with basketball, Sean?
Well, I tried to break up the fight, mm-hmm. which was stupid. I should have immediately started filming and shouting World Star,
mm-hmm.
and I believe I would be a TikTok celebrity right now.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I tried to intervene. But I think to them it was very confusing, because I was not like, I kind of came out of nowhere, and I was mm-hmm. wearing a homemade shirt celebrating the 2000-2001 Warriors
uh-huh.
that a friend of the podcast, DJ Eli Fresh Mode, had made. Which said, "It's a great time out" on the front.
Mm-hmm.
And then the back said, "Vontigo Cummings,"
mm-hmm.
Which I think was extremely confusing for the guys involved in the fight to have a weirdo like that just emerge.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of broke up the fight, sort of, but then, the small guy didn't really run away. So the big guy, after like 15 seconds or so, just kind of shoved me aside and went and punched him a couple more times.
Cool.
So I didn't really stop anything. I kind of hurt my jaw. And then,
how did you hurt your jaw? Did you get punched?
I don't really remember. I took like an elbow when I was grabbing the big guy's arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it was like there was a tackle, but really it was just that a fight had gone on for more than 10 seconds and everyone was horribly winded.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of just fell to the ground in slow motion, and it might have just been that. Anyway, and then I continued on to Trader Joe's, where the adrenaline finally kicked in, like as I walked inside, and suddenly I was just like, "What the fuck? Butternut squash in a zigzag? Joe, you crazy?"
Mm-hmm.
I was really keyed up, but then I just got quarters and went home. But I think they were probably, I don't know, I felt like I had the spirit of Vontigo Cummings in me, Joey.
No, Vontigo Cummings wasn't breaking up any fights.
No,
dude.
He would have stayed back. Maybe the spirit of, like, Chris Mills is too much of a fight starter.
No, Chris Mills is the nunchuck brandisher in this story for sure.
Yeah, except that the guy with the nunchucks really got hammered. Like, at the end of the fight, after
Mills would have gotten his fucking ass kicked by the Jailblazers. Are you kidding me?
Oh, you're right. And he's into fighting a guy in a car. Well, the guy in the car, oh my God. At the end, he drove like 25 feet further and started yelling again. And then the big guy just ran after him again. And then he just started punching his car.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking crazy, Joey. And it was like a hate crime, but I don't think either one of them was gay.
Mm-hmm.
So actually it seemed like it was maybe an extremely homophobic reaction.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a crazy incident.
What's even crazier is that guy was his Door Dasher.
He was mad about the company stealing tips.
Yeah, uh-huh. Before we get to what we're going to do, that's a good story, Sean. Thank you for sharing it.
I'm really bad at fighting, but I'm okay if people don't know I'm in the fight and I can sneak up from behind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so then I don't actually fight.
Uh-huh. So you're like a spy.
Yeah, like a really weak spy though, Joey.
Right. Yeah. Or you're like one of the faceless League of Shadows in ninjas in Batman. Begins.
But also, yeah, but also like kind of crossed with like 2002 Jeff Van Gundy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds right.
But earlier than that, but Jeff, 1996 Jeff Van
Well,
Gundy.
You hate basketball, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Doesn't make sense. but before we get to the rest of our show, thank you for sharing, Sean. I do want to make an announcement. Patreon listeners, sorry we didn't do a Patreon this week. I was on vacation.
Where'd you go?
Anaheim. Disneyland, baby.
That's where the Clippers should have moved to like 15 years ago, right?
No.
They hit the pond.
No, that's depressing.
it would have been like, it's so funny that Mike Trout plays for the Los Angeles Angels, but like Anaheim might as well be like three states away. Mm-hmm. It feels like. But you went to Disneyland, probably.
Yeah, with some children. It was fun.
Ah, that's fun.
Speaking of Disneyland, though, I would be remiss if I didn't shout out our friends, the Take It or Break It podcast, Corbin,
uh-huh.
A. Smith, and Disneyland ruiner John Wilms, for ending their Patreon podcast this week. I'm going to miss it. Love you guys.
Aw. Gone too soon.
Yeah. Long live the bitch center. Also, speaking of Patreons, if you'd like to donate to ours, you can at patreon.com/roundrockpod, where you can get in our Discord chat. You can get extra episodes every week except for last week, and get a bunch of cool stuff. Merch is still being made, I promise. Mm-hmm. I feel like a weird broken record, but it is happening, I promise.
Also, this is kind of an informal benefit, but if you happen to be wanting to attend like a stand-up show,
mm-hmm.
let me know, cuz often I can put some of our listeners on a list.
Sure.
And if you come to the business every Monday night in Los Angeles,
that's already free.
I'll give you a drink ticket, though.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Yeah. Also, follow us on Twitter at RoundRockPod. Email us at RoundRockPod@gmail.com. Call us on the phone. That is the phone number that is embedded in this in the description of this episode. And I think that's all our business, right? Oh, 5-star reviews. Give us 5-star reviews on iTunes. It's weird they only let you give 5-star reviews, but it's true. And also, special thank you to our friend at Silky Johnson 23
this week, God.
Who did some amazing Photoshop work for us by photoshopping Daryl Morey's head on Ricky Gervais's body with the word audit scrawled in blood on his chest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's currently being blown up by my printer so I can have it above my bed. Uh-huh. So I can look at it while I fall asleep.
All right, should we do some reader mail here?
Yeah, let's do reader mail.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, our first question comes from M. Burchett. He says, it's fairly common knowledge that Michael Jordan played Anita Baker and Whitney Houston before games. So which modern NBA stars listen to which famous diva before games and why? Like, does LeBron listen to Mariah Carey for her incredible vocal range and pop sensibility, or Gladys Knight for her down-home roots and ability to lift a mediocre Pips lineup to greatness? Who listens to Mavis Staples?
Hmm.
Here's what I want to do here, Sean.
Yeah.
I am right now Googling the Wikipedia page to the VH1 Divas.
Oh, fantastic.
And we're going to go diva to diva.
Okay.
And figure out and match.
By the way, I will say that LeBron and Gladys Knight, he would be forcing those Pips out of town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
we're just going to do the first divas because I did not realize there's are 12 VH1 divas.
Yeah.
So let's do our first here.
Questionable divas.
Let's start with guest performer Carol King.
Ooh. Okay, Carol King.
Which NBA player is most likely to listen to Carol King, Sean?
Because I think that person's going to be like a real like Brill Building person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm going to say it's Victor Oladipo because of his singing. And he's like a dork, you know, right?
He's a dork. Carol King, though, to me is a little more offbeat than Victor Oladipo likes to go. You've seen those dumb sweaters he wears. He wears the most normie sweaters possible.
Yeah, I think he'd be into the songwriting.
Sure, but Carol King's like a kind of a weirdo, you know what I mean?
Who do you think would listen to?
A young person who would listen to Carol King now is a little weirder than Victor Oladipo.
Who do you think that is?
You know what? I think I'll tell you who it isn't first. It's not Donovan Mitchell, who is somehow more normie and boring than Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta say, good for you and your nickname, and I'm proud of Spider-Man, but that is a that's a lame choice, dude.
Okay.
For a guy who's not very Spider-Man-like, I'll say that right now.
I'm gonna say, Sean, a lot of weird things have happened on this show in the past, but you saying you're proud of Spider-Man is just a really weird, funny sense to say.
Look, I love him, man. Of course, what if Spider-Man was more like Donovan Mitchell, where it was like he's not like a downtrodden guy. He actually has like a pretty good job as a staff photographer at the Daily Bugle. And Jonah Jameson like really supports him and submits him for a lot of awards. But he's just miserable because he hasn't won enough Pulitzers yet.
You know who I think? I think Joel Embiid is a Carole King man.
Ooh, I can see that.
Don't you think he'd really like the song "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman"? Because he's like confident enough in his own masculinity too.
Well, I think he's a "You've Got a Friend" guy.
Yeah, well, that is the other song she played at VH1's Divas.
Oh, well, there you go. Also, he's like such a clean slate. I could just see him. I think that Joel Embiid is. I think he's probably a feminist. Okay. I really do.
Okay, Sean, here's a hard one.
Okay.
Shania Twain.
Ooh. Okay. What do you think about this? Shania Twain. Does it have to be an active NBA player?
No.
I think it's Baron Davis. And I think that it wasn't because of her music. He just saw her appearance in I Heart Huckabees. Mm-hmm. And became intrigued and then was like, you know what? There's some real emotional stuff here. And he kind of likes that she took a little dig at Brad Pitt.
You know,
Baron Davis, also a feminist.
I like that. But I mean, to me, there's only one NBA player I know who listens to country. And that man is Jimmy Butler. It seems like a weird match, I know, but it's the
He's
only
very
one I
vocal
know
about it.
All right.
Do you think he also like hates young country, and he's like, oh, that young country artist staying up too late.
I think Jimmy Butler was the only person in the NBA who was pro removing Old Town Road off the Billboard Hot Country 100 chart.
He's like, nah, Billy Ray Cyrus doesn't count. They're trying to circumvent the rules.
He's like, I need more Brad Paisley in my life. All right, this one I think is the easiest one.
Okay.
Gloria Estefan. I could see like 100 NBA players listening to rocking some Miami Sound Machine.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I need to disqualify members of the Miami Heat, though, just because, like, I don't know. I feel like when you have a personal friendship with Gloria Estefan, mm-hmm. as I assume Udonis Haslam has.
Right. Like Dwayne Wade has definitely been to her house.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet it's lovely.
So who is the most tropical non-Miami player? Who is most likely to ride a Vespa barefoot?
You know, I don't know if this is true of him now, but I could really see Al Horford as having been a Gloria Estefan guy. Like the combination of, you know, Caribbean background, but also
Miami
being like old when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like he was already like a 4-year NBA veteran as a college junior.
I have a different one. I think it's Boogie Cousins.
Oh.
He just, you know, he seems like the guy who wants to feel that Mamba. You know what I mean?
What song do you think he likes?
I mean, come on. You know what song he likes.
The rhythm is going to get you.
Yeah, of course.
I think he likes her version of Bad Boys.
Okay, I like it. All right, Aretha Franklin, Sean.
Ooh, I mean, there's so many who like Aretha Franklin. I think it's weirdly...
a young person.
Yes, yes, exactly. A young guy, like...
I have one. This one jumped out to me right away. I weirdly... I think it's Kyle Kuzma, dude.
Wow. Just he's like kind of an old head.
No, I mean, no. Kyle Kuzma is just always trying so hard to be interesting.
Oh.
And being a man that young who like really loves like old music is a real like I'm trying to be interesting move. You know what I mean?
I understand. I think somebody who just no posturing wouldn't tell you about it, but legitimately loves him, Mike Conley.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Mike Conley is way into Aretha.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mariah Carey.
I mean, this is like everyone in the NBA. Yeah. But
but who loves Mariah Carey the most, Sean? This one also was easy to me.
You know, like this is not correct, but I did imagine Anthony Randolph listening to the song Hero and weeping.
This to me.
But no, I think it's like somebody who's more into like Someday and Emotions. Who do you think it is?
Carmelo Anthony. It was like the easiest shit in the world to me.
I kind of think it's like. Oh, yeah. I bet he like lost his mind like watching that performance at Michael Jordan's last All-Star mm-hmm. game.
Yeah, for sure. He wants that so bad. And you know what? I'm with him. NBA, give it to him.
Yeah.
We're going to get into somebody else that's related to Melo having the same problem right now. But the NBA's really got to get its shit together here with some of these guys. Just let Melo have a year.
It's someone like, pick him up.
Oh, is Quinn Cook really that much better?
No, he's worse.
Yes.
He's worse than Carmelo Anthony, Joey. Like, easily. I think I would say Kelly Oubre would be my Mariah Carey.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one.
Just he likes the dancier ones, though, not mm-hmm. so much the ballads.
All right, here's another. And they all, everyone loves. All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like the NBA's Christmas song.
It really is. I would love, I wish they had made Rasheed Wallace and those Pistons rookies sing that one.
All right, and finally, Sean, your biggest headliner of VH1 Divas Live 1998. Wow. You know what? We might have to return to this.
Well, there's other Divas shows.
No, that's what I mean. I think this is going to... I'm not making a drop tonight, but the next time we do it, there's going to be a drop.
Okay.
We're going to return to Divas. But, Sean, Celine Dion...
Wow.
Who in the NBA secretly is listening to Celine Dion to hype themselves up?
It's a man named Andrew Wiggins. And it explains the way he plays.
Which Celine Dion jam do you think he's most into?
It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
Mm. See, I don't think he has enough power for Celine Dion or It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
I just think it's like he's like pure Canada and he thinks it's psyching him up, but it's just draining him emotionally. And he just plays like the shell of a man.
I have a story about It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
Please.
When I went on the eighth grade field trip to to Washington, D.C., we took a red eye. I'd never been on a plane by myself before, and I didn't have a Discman, so I was just listening to airplane radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a station that just played those two Celine Dion songs from that soundtrack, whichever, Up Close and Personal, on repeat.
Yeah.
It's All Coming Back to Me Now. But I fell asleep listening to it, but was in that, like, non-sleep plane sleep, you know?
Uh-huh.
So from a flight from Oakland, California to Washington, D.C., I had 6 hours? Is that a 6-hour flight? A 5-hour flight? Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
I listened as a 13-year-old boy. Listen to It's All Coming Back to Me Now, essentially on repeat.
Oh my God.
Not on purpose.
Right.
But still. For five straight hours.
Do you want to know a weird fact about this?
Sure.
So, it was written a long time before it was recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the guy who wrote it does a lot of work with Meatloaf.
Mm-hmm. And he's the Bat Out of Hell guy. I forget his name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so Meatloaf wanted to put it on Bat Out of Hell 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, no, I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. And then the co-writer wanted to give it to some weird project group he had called Pandora's Box,
mm-hmm.
and ended up getting a court order preventing Meatloaf from recording the song.
I mean, if you think about it, it really is a Meatloaf song.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, and so actually Celine Dion's version is a cover.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I believe it.
It's so great to me to imagine Meatloaf getting sued in order to prevent him from recording something.
I do think you are right that someone is listening to that particular song before a game.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think that it's Andrew Wiggins.
Uh-huh.
It feels like a real Bradley Beal song to me.
Ooh.
Just like, you know, it's, but only when John Wall is hurt, where he's like touching the ball. It's all coming back to me now. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Like you can pass it away, but yeah, yeah. There's no one else on the team.
All right, I'm not going to do this with everyone, Sean, But I just want you to know, the list of presenters for Divas Live is very wild.
Oh, please.
Jennifer Aniston.
Okay, makes a lot of sense.
Patricia Arquette.
You know, indie diva.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Definite diva.
Susan Sarandon.
You know.
Diva 98, though, for Sarah Jessica Parker.
Is Sex and the City a show at that point?
I don't know. Maybe it's just starting. But here's the other weird ones. Terry Hatcher.
Oh, yeah. Sex and the City is just premiering. Mm-hmm. So she's doing it for promo.
Yeah. Terry Hatcher.
Ooh, not as much of a diva as some people might have guessed.
Mm-hmm. Sarah McLachlan.
She's presenting, but not a diva.
Yes.
I guess Celine Dion got her spot. She's not as much of a diva, though.
No,
I have
but
to
she
say.
Was. It was VH1 in 1998, so legally she was required to be on.
Yeah, because they were like, look, we have to show her every 2 hours. So,
and finally, Joan Osborne in 1998.
Wow. When did that album of hers come out?
Not 1998, I'll tell you that much.
When did One of Us come out? Let's see. You know, that inspired, we collaborated with her. Yeah, that's
96, dude.
I think it came out in 95.
Yep, but I looked up the Grammy. So it wins the Grammy in 96, or it's nominated for the Grammy in 96.
As far as I know, she has only one album. So she's still riding the One of Us wave. Joey, can I make a confession?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that album.
I believe it.
Relish.
By the way,
probably my parents just had it on CD and I was like, ooh.
By the way, back to Gloria Estefan and Boogie Cousins. I've thought about it. It's not Rhythm Is Gonna Get You that he likes the most. It's Get On Your Feet.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
And like, I think like maybe I could feel like that being a song he embraced during his rehab too.
Sure. All right. That question took much longer for us to answer than I thought it would. El Half Narrow asks, we all know that the Lopez twins' cats hate each other, but which NBA players' cats/dogs/etc. would get along super well?
I mean, I kind of feel like Clay's dog would get along with anyone, kind of like Clay himself.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there are probably a lot of NBA players who own cats. It's just, I think of that less.
Well, maybe that's, I mean, there aren't that many, though. There's a whole Twitter.
There is.
There is a whole Twitter dedicated to it. But I do know, because it was on the local news yesterday, that Jordan Poole, Warriors rookie, actually adopted two Maine Coon cats yesterday from a Bay Area animal shelter.
You yourself are a Maine Coon owner, right?
I am. Well, no, ours is not a Maine Coon. He just looks like one because he's small. Oh. He's according to the vet, he's a Norwegian wood cat or a Norwegian forest cat. Sorry.
If it was a Norwegian wood cat, that would be tight. Because in the movie yesterday, they forget that that is even a breed of cat.
I'll tell you whose dog isn't getting along with anybody's.
Who's that?
I know this is not the question, but Udonis Haslam's castrated dog is not getting along with anybody.
Everyone. Like, he's breeding fighting dogs, right?
In case you forgot, Udonis Haslam had a dog who was accidentally neutered.
Mm-hmm.
And then sued the guy for hundreds of thousands of dollars because apparently the breed of dog is so rare, the semen would cost that much money. All right.
Udonis Haslam claimed he was making tens of thousands of dollars in semen money every month.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, Udonis Haslam. Whose pets would get along really well?
I think Zach Randolph's pets would get along really well with Zion Williamson's pets.
Ooh. Yeah, I could see that. They're probably like real well fed, all of those. I also, this may be unfair, but I feel like Zach Randolph is probably a messy eater and very generous with, like, just tossing pieces of food to a, of human food sure. to a pet.
Zach Randolph's the best. Yeah. All right, let's save this Tlay Compson question for the Patreon this week. I think we could do a long one.
It's a good,
for that.
It's a pretty good question, yeah.
And then Mr. Aggregator asked, what is your guys' thoughts on player empowerment? I think it's bullshit because only a few guys in the league have this quote-unquote power. We're starting to hear so much about it. I think it's clear the owners want to crack down on it before the next CBA. It's being pushed really hard in the media right now.
I mean, I do agree that owners want to crack down on it, but they always fuck up when they try to do it.
Yeah.
You know
they
what I mean?
Just like, make it worse for themselves.
They should actually roll it back and make... I mean, there were a lot of sign-in trades this year, and it makes me think that they're not going to want to be as punitive about them
mm-hmm.
now. I mean, who knows? But it seems like so many teams were participating in them. Like, I don't really know that NBA owners are into everybody being hard capped.
I also kind of disagree that there's only a few guys in the league with the power because so many veteran guys have gotten bought out just because they've asked in the last couple of years. Robin yes. Lopez is the exception to that.
Dwayne Wade gave up a ton of money in his buyout. I'd be curious about that, actually. I want somebody to... Some aspiring basketball guy should, like, find out how much these guys are actually giving up in buyouts. Because often it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of curious, like, you know, who was actually willing to give up a bunch of salary to move around.
And also, like, Pat McCaw got to leave. In previous years, that never would have happened.
Right.
Pat
yeah.
McCaw would just be out of the league. Or be stuck on the Warriors for 3 years or whatever.
Yeah, that was a weird situation. I also, there were a lot of just very strange. I'm still like baffled by the D'Angelo Russell move, and not so much from the Warriors' perspective. Like that, whether you agree with it or not, like it, there's like a logic to it. It just seemed very weird that he. Signed with them so fast. I mean, I guess it's not like a bad destination or anything, but it felt like if anyway. I mean, I do think that probably the middle class of players is getting a little bit screwed, but it just seems like the vagaries of the salary cap going up and how much cap space teams have, which seems fairly random,
mm-hmm.
seems like it's like the biggest factor on how much like guys can move around and how much they get paid.
Well, I would actually argue the guys who are getting the most screwed are guys like, again, we're going to talk about this, like Jeremy Lin and Carmelo Anthony. Where they're like these like fringe veterans who are clearly better than young guys, but the premium is so on young guys that they're just having to go to China or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean there's
or
even
the big three.
I believe we have CBA provisions that, you know, make the veteran minimum only count the same as the normal minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if I'm not like smart enough about the CBA to know this, but I wonder if that doesn't work if you're hard capped or if there's some kind of like
those work. No, I actually do know this, but it just becomes a game of like, what if you develop Quinn Cook for 3 years instead of having Joe Johnson for a year? Like yeah. your upside is so much better having a guy you can develop for cheap for 3 years than having a guy that can play right now for only a year.
Because it's all this, like, weird asset. Oh, the roster's actually a portfolio.
Right, but, and it's also, guys are getting paid so much, such a high percentage of the salary cap that those small numbers you want to have, those guys at really low value contracts you want to...
Like, if
to,
we sign them to a series of a four-year non-guaranteed deal, and it was like what the Rockets were trying to do with Daniel House last year.
Yes.
Where it's just like, how can we make this more like baseball and turn it into indentured servitude?
But even like a guy like Damian Lee with the Warriors is getting screwed. Because like Damian Lee is like, you know, he's a fringe NBA player, but like there's no reason not to have him on a roster, but no one's signing him because he's like 25. So he's having to sign two ways every year.
Yeah, he signed another two-way.
Yeah.
Right? The two-way seems more of an exploitation than an opportunity, I'm going to say.
100%.
It's just like, you're all making so much money.
But also, my biggest problem with... Oh, also, we didn't really answer. I'm pro-player empowerment, obviously. Like, fuck owners. Players should get to work where they want and get all the money they want.
I think the reason we're hearing so much about it is absolutely like ownership sources and sources.
They're mad at Rich Paul and Anthony Davis. That's all this is.
Right.
And Kawhi Leonard now.
That one's weird.
But the biggest problem with the quote unquote player empowerment era is Bill Simmons running rampant with made up words.
Well, and like
a calling, you know, it really... the player empowerment era, where he went through and named eras of NBA decades this week.
He also has been talking about free agency in terms of Tinder or dating apps basically since Tinder existed, and he keeps forgetting he did it, and he's like, I got a new name for this, it's the swipe right era. And then you're like, actually 4 years ago you're like, I got a name for this, it's the Tinder era. I just wonder if he's just like, if we were able to go back far enough, I wonder if there were some like weird AOL columns where he's like, oh, what are lots of morning.
But
going
yeah.
to the Heat from the Hornets? This is like the classified ads era.
NBA players, NBA writers, I beseech you. We need to kill pre-agency right now.
Oh.
We cannot let it become a term that people use.
It's so stupid. It like, like, oh, it rhymes. But also, the problem with it is it also sounds too much like free agency. So, like, oh, I hate it.
Anyway, somehow we made this a thing about Bill Simmons again. But also, yes, I'm pro-player empowerment. I believe there shouldn't be a draft and there shouldn't be a salary cap. All right. From Queen Ozymandias, she asks, is Kyrie Irving voting for Marianne Williamson?
I will say this. I don't think Kyrie is voting.
Yeah, I was going to say the same exact thing.
like, yeah, maybe, but he's like, you know, they're like, I don't know how Kyrie thinks elections work, but I think he definitely does not believe his vote would be counted. He's going to be on a registry. Honestly, he's pretty much correct. It does not matter if you vote or not.
Especially if you live in New York now.
Yeah, dude. Like,
but
I don't think AOC would be his is the Barclays Center. I don't think that's in her district.
I could see he would vote for AOC, I think.
Yeah, I just don't. I can't see him like going to a polling place.
No, it's true. Who's Joe Harris voting for?
Oh, Joe Harris. I think he's a Mayor Pete guy for now.
Gross.
But I think he's paying attention.
All right. And then she also asked, why the fuck is Marcus Smart, an angel, playing for the fucking Celtics when he could be the chaotic anti-capitalist angel that Philadelphia deserves?
All right. Can you provide the context for this? Or I could do it. I could
you
do it.
Can do it.
So Marcus,
I'm going to say that guy's the French Revolution guy's name wrong, and that's much more your wheelhouse.
So I think
as a Les Mis head.
That is true. That is true. I am a Mis head. team Gavroche. No, actually, I'm Team Angel Ross. Actually, just fuck Marius. You know what I'm saying? Like, this sucks. Anyway, Marcus Smart has been very visible. I think it's his birthday or something, but
keep going.
He's
the NBA is so stupid that we're like, this guy's been around a lot. Maybe it's his birthday.
Well, the reason he's been so active today, it's not at all his birthday. He was
because he's the most famous person on USA Basketball.
Well, he was doing a Q&A on Twitter to raise money today to get people to donate to like a charity for kids with cancer or one specific kid with cancer. So that's why there's a million Marcus Smart quotes, because he was like basically just doing a fundraiser today on Twitter.
But and also he's been the most he's the only one not embarrassed to be on the USA basketball team.
Yeah.
So he's been doing a lot of press around that, too. Which, if you're Marcus Smart, yeah, that's smart and cool. Because in what other context would you be on the USA basketball team, let alone on national TV all the time talking about it, you know?
I gotta say, kind of rules that everybody's dropping out.
Yeah, I'm super
fuck
into
FIBA,
it.
Man. Like, oh, FIBA. Oh, good. There's a basketball version of FIFA. No, thank you. Also, like, if these guys are just going to play 60 games a year, it's like, why are we playing in like a trash international tournament? Like, oh, it's a qualifier for the Olympics. They might have to play a tournament in Tokyo to qualify. It's like, yeah, why don't we just send Kentucky, the University of Kentucky team? Whatever. Just
I don't even send them. Just send, like, the best AAU team and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right?
What?
Send Braun. Like, what, couldn't they just field a team of NBA players' kids that would rule? Like, Shaq's kid, LeBron's kid, Pippen's kid. Like, I bet you could make a team that would at least qualify for the Olympics out of
they should just keep Marcus
just the offspring of the 90s Olympics.
They should keep Marcus Smart on that team, though.
Yeah, yeah, he's still there. He's like camp counselor. Anyway, sorry. So Marcus Smart, the two prominent things he did was last night he was on TV. Sorry, Monday night he was on TV talking about weird Celtics Twitter, which. Congratulations on the scoop, guys. but also, he asked a question about the sequence was someone asked him a question. Okay, so everybody, his charity is called the Young Game Changer Foundation, fights cancer, I guess. And someone asked him, coolest medieval siege weapon and why? And along with it, it was a picture of a trebuchet and a catapult and a ballista. I don't know what that is, even looking at a drawing. And then Marcus Smart said, none of above, guillotine by far. Thank you for donating. And then someone quote tweeted it at @Connor_Griffin. Wrote Marcus Smart is Robespierre, and Marcus Smart quote tweeted that and tweeted fire emoji, reign of terror, fire emoji. Mm-hmm. And so that is the reason for believing that he is an anti-capitalist icon.
So here's my first thing. What I will say is I do think we have confirmation that Marcus Smart listens to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Yeah, as everyone should.
My problem with this comment from our from one of our favorite listeners, Queen Ozymandias, is referring to the Philadelphia 76ers as anti-capitalist. They are the most fucking capitalist bullshit team, maybe in the NBA. The process is the most venture capitalist fucking dot-com Bitcoin fucking hooey possible.
Let's just acquire as many Lyft drivers as possible.
Yeah.
And then we slowly cut their wages like boiling frogs in a pan.
Yeah. And their owners are like the kings of – they're like who closed Toys R Us.
Yes, yes, they are. Yeah, they're like Bain Capital Jr.
Yeah, they are the kings of buying a business that is totally fine and then shutting it down because it's like the producers, but I'm not even really sure how it works, but it's like the producers for businesses that were fine.
Yeah, well, and also I kind of believe that that happened with the Sixers where they were like, oh, I guess we can't sell it yet.
So my question, Sean, you have something you want to say about this.
Well, just the chaotic anti-capitalist angel of Philadelphia is named Gritty.
Yeah. Well, fair. Also that.
Like he's more like a literal angel.
But I wanted to ask you, Sean, if you had to pick one NBA team that's the most anti-capitalist, who would it be?
Ooh. Offhand, I would have to say the Memphis Grizzlies.
Okay.
Just because they're the closest thing to being run by, like, a family business. I mean, I know the Lakers are, but they're not an anti-capitalist thing.
Well, I mean, wouldn't the Timberwolves also be that technically because they keep hiring? They only hire Flip Saunders.
Well, they do actually hire family members, yeah, and like relatives. That is weird. But it is like, you know, it's a guy who I think Robert Pera has a software company.
Sure,
but it's like he's not a mutual fund. He just kind of has this company. And he also owns the Grizzlies. And like it feels like grit and grind, despite being, you know, a bit of a bullshit slogan, is like legitimately how people in Memphis feel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like it's weird the team went there. You know, it's weird they're there at all. I mean, that was pretty much all I had. But also they have like weird shit happens where they get really tight
when they think about the Martin Luther King assassination during playoff games.
But like one of their longtime players was like straight up murdered by his wife in like a criminal. Anyway, all of that feels very like caught, like. Their existence is like a cautionary tale about capitalism. Like, man, that's, we had to leave Vancouver. Like, I guess they made such a horrible mistake with Chandler Parsons, which is the same way that like a rube gets swindled by a flashy guy from out of town, you know?
My initial thought was the Spurs, but they're kind of like they're like Cuba, you know what I mean? Where it's like a totalitarian pretending to be a socialist, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's like what is he, the heir of the caterpillar fortune?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't even thinking about him because he's so off.
Oh, you're thinking Pop.
Yeah, he's so hands off. But Pop and R.C. Buford are real, like, it's like Maoist China. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The secret police are running the show.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It literally, a secret policeman is their coach.
Dude, R.C. Buford is a Watergate burglar ass name.
But clearly, I think the most anti-capitalist team is actually, if you're to believe the way people talk about them, it's the New Orleans Pelicans. Because everybody always claims they shouldn't have a team.
Oh,
they
yeah.
only have a team because people thought it would they because of a natural disaster. And now they're like, we can't take it away. The people own it.
Yeah, it's like it's like the opposite of disaster capitalism.
The guy who owns it didn't even want it. And well, then he also, and then he yeah. died and the wife didn't want it. But then Anthony Davis made her so mad. She's like, no, I'm keeping it forever.
Yeah.
And I'm going to run it correctly.
Yeah, like that's it. We got to wake up. They're trying to steal our resources. Never again. Also, the full name of their mascot is actually Robespierre the Pelican.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
All right. Good questions, all. We'll
job,
be back with some more questions in the Patreon episode later this week.
Yeah.
Let's do some news real quick.
Yeah.
This went much longer than I thought it was going to.
Readers were too good. I'm going to say already, just before we get into the news, we're not going to talk about Vivek and the moon landing.
No, we'll get to that later.
Maybe.
But here's the news drop.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, our first story, only because I've alluded to it so much, we actually have to talk about it. Jeremy Lin is sad.
He's really sad.
And the same story, it was a very interesting coincidence because there was also a Carmelo Anthony is sad story earlier this week. So it's really what?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was like, it's really like those two are inextricably linked for no reason for the rest of their lives.
If Melo had just opened his heart to Linsanity, I feel like the whole landscape of the NBA would be different.
It's true. But why don't you walk us through this Jeremy Lin story?
Okay, so Jeremy Lin is in Taiwan doing something for apparently a Christian outlet called Good TV. And so he was giving a motivational speech. And let me just give you some of the things he said. In English, there's a saying, and it says, once you hit rock bottom, the only way is up. But rock bottom just seems to be getting more and more rock bottom for me. So free agency has been tough, because I feel like in some ways the NBA has kind of given up on me. After the season, I had to get ready for this Asia trip, and it was the last thing I wanted to do. Because I knew for 6 weeks I would have to just put on a smile. I would have to talk about a championship that I don't feel like I really earned. I would have to talk about a future I don't know if I want to have. And honestly, it's just embarrassing. It's tough. Anyway, the theme of the speech was never give up.
Mm-hmm. And of course, NBA Twitter decided to have the two worst possible takes on this on either side, which is how can he be depressed? He made so much money, and lol, Jeremy Lin sucks.
And I mean, like, he clearly doesn't suck.
No.
I mean, look, should he be a starting NBA point guard? Probably not. But, like, he's still good at things.
Yes.
He just got hurt a couple times. Like,
yeah.
He's a perfectly adequate backup point guard.
Mm-hmm.
He's just happens to be 30 years old now.
Right. But again, he's better than Quinn Cook. Just gonna say that.
Yeah, dude. Like there's a lot of guys he's better than.
And I know I pick on Quinn Cook a lot, but he's better than Ian Clark, who's no longer in the NBA. He signed a year up somewhere today. But
no, but yeah, like okay, so you know, Jeremy Lin's already been on the Lakers, right?
Yeah, but he's better than as good as Rajon Rondo, possibly better.
Well, they do different things, but yeah, I'd probably rather have Jeremy Lin.
I mean, I'd rather have Jeremy Lin just because I'm anti-homophobes.
Yeah, exactly. Jeremy Lin, he's also, he's been on Fresh Off the Boat with some of our friends.
Wouldn't you rather have him than Derrick Rose?
Yes! I guess Derrick Rose is better at some things, but, like, Derrick Rose is not, like, actually a productive guy. He is, like, the example of... Someone in the Discord was talking about it, but, like, someone is going to score points on your team.
Yeah.
Like there's a certain amount of that's a skill, but, like, you just see it. Jeremy Lin's also, like, a nice, good person.
Mm-hmm. And also,
Derrick Rose is not.
No. And also, Carmelo Anthony, same thing. Look, Carmelo Anthony maybe has some trouble being a backup. Maybe he kind of only knows one way to play basketball. Mm-hmm. But also, he's only asking to play one more year in the NBA. If you're a team that sucks, just have some fun. Get these two guys in the league. People love these dudes. You know what I mean?
Isn't Carmelo Anthony still a good 3-point shooter?
I think he's only okay. If I
just
remember
just
right.
Seems like, look, Damian Lillard was talking about and like some team needed to give him a shot. Portland should give him a shot.
Lillard also said, but we don't have the money.
Money for a minimum deal? I guess maybe they don't. They did kind of max out. God, it's like, it is this like weird offseason where it got so crazy. Teams are like crunching down to the like thousands of dollars.
But all this shit is just a... Like, it's Hanky Maury dunked on brain, dude, where it's, mm-hmm. like, good NBA players who are, like, slightly past prime are, like, fucking trash now because you'd rather have a guy who maybe could be good in 4 years at a minimum deal.
It's such a strange thing where the problem is that the teams that he would like naturally go to. This didn't used to be the case.
Well, this is
like,
why
you look at those like Lakers championship teams. Mm-hmm. You see Mitch Richmond and J.R. Ryder. You know, Mitch Richmond dribbling the ball. Like for the Shaq Kobe teams,
right?
And like it. I don't know, man. It actually. You know what team? I don't know if they got a place for him, but I think he actually would be not only like not just like a mascot. I think he might be a helpful spur. I really do. They're down a forward. They need someone to can shoot from the outside. I don't know.
Melo? Sorry, I thought you were talking about Jeremy Lin.
Oh no, I mean Melo. Sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know who Jeremy Lin would really help? The fucking Orlando Magic.
He would help the Magic.
The Phoenix Suns. Like, these are teams that have, like, one point guard.
Right. And also, like, when you have Jeremy Lin, it's like, oh, how about that Orlando Magic roster that's 80% defenders?
Yeah.
like, that's a good place for Jeremy Lin.
But anyway, this to me is actually... What's happening right now is just like the NBA needs a real minor league. That's what's crunching these guys out.
Oh, that there's nowhere to like send down a guy and stash him.
Right. Well, and it's not even just sending them down. It's having the ability to develop young players while also trying to compete right now.
Well, yeah, because the G League is basically trash.
Right. It's only good for stashing 17-year-old foreigners who are pretending they don't speak English because you told them to. Which is right. Something the Warriors did this year, last year.
But yeah, like those teams just have aren't G League games kind of unwatchable?
Yes.
Because there's like a ton of roster turn. Now, there are a lot of NBA vets playing in the G League.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of pretty old dudes.
But
there,
I'm not even suggesting Carmelo and Jeremy Lin would be in the G League. I'm suggesting some of your Travion Grahams would.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, like, the rosters are too small for NBA teams to be able to, like, have veterans who can play and also develop young guys, to me, is the problem here.
I think it's more the sea change in attitudes. I don't think there's that much of a roster crunch. Because there's a lot of teams that don't even fill their roster.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. And unfortunately, the natural destination for Carmelo Anthony would be the Knicks.
Yeah. The Knicks should bring both of these guys back. It would be hilarious, and people would love it.
I mean, look. The Knicks have proved that there's no limit to the amount of power forwards they could acquire this postseason.
How funny. Because Amari Stoudemire is also trying to get back in the league. Sign all three.
Well, I don't think Amari is an NBA player anymore.
Yeah, but it would be so funny. Like, if you're going to sign the two, you might as well also sign Amari Stoudemire to have him around. You know what I mean? It would be hilarious.
Yeah, but Joey, like, where are you going to be able to find minutes for, Bobby Portis? That Knicks roster is completely weird. I will have something about the New York Knicks this week, by the way.
Okay. The other story I really wanted to talk about. We'll talk about Senegal later this week, too.
Okay, great.
Let's just do this real quick one. Anthony Davis, Sean, is afraid of the dark.
This is a fresh story to me, Joey.
So he was on something called That's What She Said with Sarah Spain.
Oh, boy.
And she asked, which apparently is an ESPN show. And she asked about what his biggest failure was and the one thing he would most want to improve about himself. And he said, me being scared of the dark. And then he said, when he goes to sleep, TV on, bathroom light on, some light has to be on. I wish I wasn't scared of the dark. And then he explained that, quote, he watched too many crazy movies when I was a kid, and it messed me up for life.
Well, so he has PTSD, Joey.
And then Sarah Spain asked him, but what if there was a significant other in his life who needed to sleep in darkness? And he said, we ain't gonna make it. It's over with.
Oh, my God. That's. Well, okay. Here, to me, I had one immediate reaction to hearing this. He must have been scared all the time playing in New Orleans. Like, that is just that it's a spooky city. It's just a lot of big cemeteries, a lot of, like, oh man, him just sitting with the lights on, thinking about all the ghosts and the voodoo, and like just like going to the arena and being like, oh look, another ghost tour is coming by. Great. Oh, look, it's Anne Rice's mansion. Great. Do you think he got, like, really scared at the beginning of games when, like, the arena lights went down?
Well, I'm wondering if he was scared on the Harry Potter ride when I saw him.
Oh, yeah, that's why they were like, dark. No pictures! He's crying!
But I had a very different immediate reaction than you. And Lakers fans, buckle up. Because my immediate reaction was, Shit, this is a Dwight Howard-ass story.
Oh, man. Yes, it is. Oh, boy. That's,
So, be careful out there, Lakers fans.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. Like, sleeping with the light on. Because it's different than, do you remember Gilbert Arenas' thing? That he just wouldn't let anyone sleep in a bed with him?
Vaguely. Keep going.
It's just one of the many weird things about Gilbert Arenas. And that is, like, definitely him being an asshole. But I can see how that's, like, oh, I can see that quality. You know
also,
what I mean?
Also, that's
like
mental illness, I think.
That is mental illness. But it's also mama mentality, I think.
Yeah, sure.
But fear of the dark and, like, still being scared of movies you saw, like, 10 or 15 years ago is just a lot more troubling, I think.
What do you think the scariest movie he saw was?
Okay, so I'm doing the math. So I'm going to say this.
You know what? Before you would give a joke answer.
No. I'm trying to count back and look at what he would have seen when he was like 10 years old.
Everyone who listens to this show, please tweet at Anthony Davis and ask him what the scariest movie he saw when he was a kid was.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
That's what I want to hear here. I think we can figure this out, actually.
Crowdsource journalism. I bet he'd say it if he was asked by Roundball Army.
Yeah. Everybody listening, ask Anthony Davis what the scariest movie he saw as a kid was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I'll tell you what I think it was. I think it was his friend telling him the Bloody Mary urban legend.
That and he was like, that's a movie. Do you think that there was like a scary movie he saw that involved a razor? And that was the point when he was like, nope, I guess these eyebrows are just going to grow together in a gross caterpillar.
What if he saw
a razor coming near my eye?
What if he says,
what if it was like that weird Un Chien Andalou? And he was like, oh, that's a razor by an eyeball. Never.
What if he's like, I saw Audition when I was 7 years old. but what I was like,
not that scary.
That was going to be my next thing. What if he's like M. Night Shyamalan's Signs?
I was going to say like Hocus Pocus. I mean, time-wise, he could have seen The Sixth Sense when he was, like, 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that being pretty scary.
It's not that scary.
Like, for a small child, the beginning's pretty scary.
That movie's boring for a small child, frankly. It is boring. It's a lot of Bruce Willis just sitting quietly in a room.
The beginning's very scary, sure. I think. But, sure. Yeah, I agree with you. M. Night's films are much more like troubling and unsettling than actually scary.
Mm-hmm. Especially when that lady is asking Mark Wahlberg if she stole his lemon drink.
Oh yeah, and what about that pickpocket character?
All right. I think that's our episode.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Sean, congratulations, Blazers fans, on CJ McCollum getting an extension. We're not going to make fun of you.
look, Pau Gasol is a great Blazer. Let's see, that's the kind of legacy signing that teams are still doing.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's because of the wildly pro-Spanish bias.
I'm going to say this right now. Jeremy Lin is better than Pau Gasol right now.
He is. He's more useful.
All right.
Pau Gasol is probably a fucking delight, though.
I don't know. I heard from some people with knowledge that he was a pain in the ass and not very fun to be around in both Chicago and San Antonio.
Ooh. Okay.
No, I'm not going to tell you who told me that, but
I think I know.
And that he definitely does not want to, like, help young guys. That's the other thing I've heard.
So why is he going to Portland then?
I think like, he thinks he can play.
Maybe he can see some, like, don't they have five centers?
Yeah, but I think he thinks, okay, Zach Collins isn't ready. Nurk is out for the season. And everyone hates Hassan Whiteside. I think I can start in, like, a month.
Oh, my God. Isn't Nurk back in, like, December?
I don't know, man. Anyway, Sean, what do you have to plug?
Come see me at Rooster Tea Feathers August, it's next weekend, August 8th to 11th, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know what day it is anymore, Joey. Yeah, 8th to the 11th. That's and let me know if you want to.
Sunnyvale, California.
Featuring for Nate Jackson. The interior clearly used to be a pizza place.
The first Pong game was there.
That's true.
There is a plaque on the wall that says it.
Yeah, it was funny. The Pong game actually broke after like a day or two. And the guys were like, well, I guess video games suck. And then it turned out that the machine broke because there was too much money inside it. Because it was so popular. I have an article about Chris Paul on Yard Barker where I'm like nice about Chris Paul for the most part. And
I'm sorry. I'll what did you do with Sean?
I know. No. It was more like I was able to be negative about Russell Westbrook. So that kind of, you know what I mean? Just a bit.
All right. Cool.
It's spread around with my enemies.
As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where 5 hours ago I tweeted, "We making brownies on our bus, y'all. Who's coming over? Meet us in Banff at Pagey Price."
Does he not have her number, maybe? Just throwing it out there. Don't be like tweeting your location to your girlfriend like that. That's
they're on the bus together.
Never.
Sean, did you write a song?
I did. I did. This is about Ben Simmons.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it later. But
okay.
Well, this song is a aha song, mm-hmm. a collaboration. It's called Take a Three.
Yeah, okay. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Tweet at Anthony Davis. Let's find out what scary movies he's seen.
Ow, ow, ow.
Dribbling away. The shot is there, but he don't take it. He won't shoot the J. Even Gandhi was more into shooting. Isn't it tragic? Ben is not allowed to talk to magic. Take a three.
Take a three.
Shoot the ball.
Take a three.
JJ's gone to New Orleans. So Philly is strange. They had kept space, but no spacing. What's up with Ben? He's playing like it's the 1970s. Pass to Embiid. If he balls out, he'll get a day with Riri. Take a three.
Take a three.
Shoot the ball.
Take a three.
Run into years.
You know, if this one-hit wonder were a free safety for the Green Bay Packers, they'd be ahaha Clinton Dix. If they were a Korean big man for the Portland Blazers who got into a crazy practice fight involving a large beam of wood, they'd be Aha Sungjin. And of course, if this band was the laugh of Finals MVP Kawhi Leonard, they'd be... Oh, he's not lefty. A clutch client, not a clutch shooter down under, not downtown. The Boston fans all say he's a coward, they're talking trash. But he stole Al Horford away. Take a three.
Take a three.
Shoot the ball.
Take a three.
J.J.'s gone to New Orleans.
Take a three.
Take a shot.
Take a three.
He'll be with Bron in 2 years. One hit wonder. We talking about Carmelo Anthony in a fight? But we kid.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.